Sefer Amos, our next Sefer in Treyasser, is different from many of the other Sfarim in Treyasser and many of the Sfarim in Tanakh in a couple of crucial ways. By his own identification, Amos lives in the 8th century before the Common Era, before a lot of the Chorbanos happened, before the exile of the 10 tribes, before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That's going to be in 586, so that's going to be after his time. He's a contemporary, as far as we can tell, with Yeshaya HaNavi. He overlaps with Micha, with one or two others. So he's one of the earliest Nevi'im of this period, leaving the late period of Malachim, after Elisha and Eliyahu, long after, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel HaNavi. He prophesies, as we're going to see, during the reign of Uzziyahu Melech Yehuda, but he also counterbalances that with the name of the king, Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Yisrael. So we have a kind of narrow band where he's the king. Uzziah was the king for 52 years, but Yeravam more like 20. So it may have been a very brief time period that he's actually prophesying. And it also gives his job, which is almost never done in Nach. Divrei Amos asher hayava noktim mitakoa. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen, the shepherds, from Tekoa, he is identified as a shepherd, as a herdsman, maybe as an owner of cattle. Later, he cultivates sycamore trees. So he's a man of the land. He's a man who works with his hands. And he's going to tell us in Parak Zion that he is not a Navi ben Navi. He's not a prophet by profession, as Dr. Hirsch says. He is rather a person who spends an awful lot of time with sheep, which we know is a good sign for a Jewish leader. But he's not at the time when Nevi'im are Jewish leaders. He's at the time when Nevi'im are trying to tell people, remedy your deeds, do what you have to do. He comes from Yehuda, and yet all of his prophecies are going to be about Malchus Yisrael. He will eventually get to Yehuda as well, but in a different context. He is prophesying about a lot of nations, and Yehuda is listed as the last of those. Asher chaza al Yisrael b'mei Uzziah melech Yehuda u'b'mei Yeravam ben Yoash melech Yisrael, that he saw visions, he prophesied concerning Yisrael in the days of Uzziah, king of Yehuda, who was a long reigning king, and the days of Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Israel, who was not such a long reigning king and had a problematic kingdom like all the kings of Israel. Shnosayim lifnei ha-ra'ash. And then, as another marker, his prophecy took place 2 years before the earthquake. So we know there's a massive earthquake during the time of Uzziah, and Chazal tell us that that happens on a day when Uzziah tried to go into the Beis HaMikdash to burn the ketores, to burn the incense, which was the job of a Kohen, not Uzziahu. Uzziahu, I believe, is the one who eventually becomes a leper as a result of... No, that's Azariah, I think. But in any case, he tried to grab too much. And he had no business doing the avoda that he tried to do. And an earthquake strikes. And so we place Amos' prophecy 2 years before the earthquake, when nobody knows an earthquake is going to come. He foretells it around this time. He warns everyone that major retribution is coming from heaven. But nobody's listening, which is one of the problems. A wonderful book that I'm going to be citing a lot by Rabbi Yitzchak Etshalom, who is a rabbi out in Los Angeles. He's a high school Navi teacher, which is fascinating because he really is tremendous with his students. I've met him several times and heard him give shiurim. He's just amazing. And he wrote a really epochal book about Amos that just came out. I got to have him sign it when I saw him over Pesach. He really says that the batting average of every Navi is pretty much zero. Here they go out and they give the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to give and the warnings HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to give, and they don't have any impact on anybody because the people don't change their behavior and they don't alter themselves. And how hard it must be. Think about what we learned about Yechezkel, trying so hard, lying on his side in place for 400 some odd days, and the people paying no attention and even throwing him into prison. Amos is very plain-spoken, as might behoove a man of the land, a man who works with his hands so much. He doesn't mince words. Beis Vayomar, and he said, Or Rabbi Echelon translates it as he would say it often. And he said, Mitzion Yishag. Hashem at Mitzion Yishag. Hashem is going to roar like a lion from Tzion. Yerushalayim Yitein Kolo. And from Yerushalayim he will give forth his voice. Now this is almost the exact same phrase that we saw in the very last psukim of Yoel. If this sounds familiar, it's because we just did it a couple of days ago. So in fact, it's the same phrase, but Yoel is many hundreds of years after Amos. So Amos said it first. So apparently it's a regular prophecy phrase to say this. Yibavlu na'os haroim. The dwellings of the shepherds are going to be cut off. And Rashi says, from Targum Yonasan, the dwellings of the kings are going to be cut off. But it might be literal. Radak says, the dwellings of the shepherds will be destroyed because it's not going to rain. The Yavesh Rosh HaKarmel, and the top of Mount Carmel, or another way of putting it, the choice of the fruitful land, the Carmel, will wither and dry out. And so there's going to be environmental disaster on top of everything else, as the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is roaring out. Now the next section of Amos that goes on for a parak and a half are going to be condemnations of seven different nations and the punishment that's going to come. And there's very much a formula by which he says it, and we'll explore that next time.